Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is the last daf of the second parak of Masechet Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin daf Chaf Beis. We are holding nine lines from the end of the page of daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We are at Amar Mar Zutra. Today's show is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lina Nishmas' mother, Golda Bar Simcha Alei Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today is, first we're going to talk about the history of the font that we use for Sifrei Torah. Ksav Ivri, Ksav Ashuris, when it changed, did it change? Then the Gemara is going to talk, and that's going to lead the Gemara into the discussion about the famous handwriting on the wall from Daniel, and what exactly that writing looked like that was so confusing to everybody. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss various things that we do or avoid doing in order to maintain the dignity and awe of the king. Shatei emaso alecha. The Gemara is going to discuss Avishak Ashunamis and what that teaches us about divorce and about first wives and the special love that one has for their first wife. Then the Gemara is going to, on Amud Beis, shift the discussion to the haircuts of a Melech, a Kohen Gadol, as well as haircuts of Kohanim in general. And that discussion of haircuts is going to take us all the way to the end of the parak. So let's begin nine lines from the end of the page. Chaf Aleph Ambeiz, Amar Marzut Shavitei Marukva. Betchila, Nitna Torah Liyisol B'Ksav Ivri. Originally at Matan Torah, the Torah was given to us in Ksav Ivri, a certain type of font of the lettering of the Sefer Torah. U'Lashon HaKodesh, and the language was Lashon HaKodesh. But then Ezra, during the days of the beginning of Bayesheni, gave us the Torah again, but this time B'Ksav Ashuris, using the Ksav that we're familiar with, Ksav Ashuris, U'Lashon Arami, and U'Lashon Arami, Bir Lahem Yisrael, and then the Jewish people ultimately chose to use Ksav Ashuris, U'Lashon HaKodesh, that we use the font of Ezra, but the language that was originally given in Har Sinai, V'Nichol Adyotos, Ksav Ivris, U'Lashon Arami, and the Diotos, they're the ones that are left with the Ksav Ivris and the Lashon Arami. Man Hediotos, who are these Hediotos that are left with the Ksav Ivris and the Lashon Arami? Amrav Chissa Kutai. It's the Kutim that use the Ksav Ivri and Lashon Arami. My Ksav Ivris, what is Ksav Ivris? Amrav Chissa Ksav Libo Na'a. It's a certain type of Ksav that's written with very large letters. So Tanya Rabbi Yossi Amar Ro'i Haya Ezra Shetinas in Torah Al Yado Li Yisrael. Ezra was worthy that he would be the one through whom the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, Il Malik Kedama Moshe. The only thing is, Moshe Rabbeinu was born before him and lived in many generations before him, so Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah for Klal Yisrael. But Moshe, well, when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah tells us, U Moshe Allah El HaElokim, and Be Ezra Hu Omer, and Sefer Ezra, it says, Hu Ezra? Allah mi bavel. So you see from Gzer Shava, Allah Allah ma aliyah ha'amurakan Torah, just like the aliyah that Moshe Rabbeinu was for the sake of the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people, and Moshe Rabbeinu facilitated that. Af aliyah ha'amur lalan Torah. So too, the word Allah that it says by Ezra also teaches that he was ra'oi to have a similar aliyah of Nesinas HaTorah when he with this aliyah from Bavel. And we also darshan b'Moshe Omer Vos So you see that they both learned, they both taught Torah to Klal Yisrael, and he was like Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was ra'oi that tinasin Torah al yada, that the Torah could have been given through Ezra. It doesn't mean he was a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, it means he was a tzaddik, you know, about whom we could say that he was deserving of the Torah having been given. And even though the Torah wasn't given through Ezra, Nishtana al Yado Aksav. It was through Ezra that the font, the ksav of the Sefer Torah, was changed. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Uksav anishtavan kasuv aramis umetargem aramis." That in that the ksav that was changed, kasuv aramis umeturgem aramis. So you see, in the days of Ezra, it was changed. Uksiv and Daniel at the time of the Suda of Belshazzar, when they brought out the klei hamikdash and they were using the klei hamikdash, and all of a sudden the hand of an angel came and wrote on the wall various things that the king couldn't understand. And whoever was sitting at a Suda couldn't understand, so they called the Chachmei HaMelech to try to understand what it said, what this handwriting on the wall was all about. So it says, Locha Lin Ksava Lemikre Fishrei Lahodol Lemalka. they couldn't read and they couldn't interpret the ksav for the melech, to let the melech know. And the reason is that because the melech wrote with a brand new type of ksav that was unknown up until that point. And even the Jewish people didn't understand it. But afterwards, they started to use that ksav. And that was the ksav that the Torah was given al yidei Ezra with. That was the ksav, the special ksav of Ezra. And the Sefer Allah Yitzchak, he says that the Malach didn't, that it's a little bit difficult to understand that they then started using that ksav that the Malach wrote. The Malach only wrote a few letters. He didn't write all of the letters of the Aleph Beis. And also there were no end letters. There was no Menatzpach other than the Nun, which appeared. We know what the words were. It says in the Navi, it says in what the words were. So how do we make sense of this? That they were able to figure out a whole Aleph Beis? So he writes in the Sefer HaLei Yitzchak that Daniel and his Chaverim were Bekiyim in these Osios even beforehand. But now it became more popularized. They realized that this, whatever they had through Torah Sheval Peh or something, of this Tzura of Osios, they realized that the Malach writing it on the wall was an indication that they should start using these Osios. Uksiv, and it says, V'kosavis Mishnah Torah Zos, it says by a Melech, he should write Mishnah Torah Zos. What's Mishnah? Ksavaroy L'shtanos. That's Moshe Rabbeinu being Merame, or the Torah being Merame to us, that the Ksav of the Torah will change at some point in time. And that's what you see in the Psukim, that in the days of Ezra, the Ksav of the Torah changed into the Ksav that the Malach wrote in front of Balshetzer during the days of Daniel. So Ezra wrote the Torah with that Ksav. Lama Nikra Ashuris, why is that Ksav that we write Sifrei Torah with called Ashuris? Sha'alima, may Ashur, because it came back up to Eretz Yisrael, thus from Ashur, that prior to that, they were using a different Ksav, and only when we came back in the days of Bayis Sheni, from Ashur, did we start using that Ksav. Now, it's funny that we call it that we came back from Ashur. Ashur is the place where the 10 tribes were exiled, and they never came back. The Shevet of Yehuda Binyamin went to Bavel, and Paras, and Madai, and they're the ones that that came back. But nevertheless, Chazal, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, Chazal would call Bavel and Aram Ashur sometimes, because all of these different places are considered like one big place. So sometimes they're called Ashur, and you find it in the Navi in Sefer Ezra. It says V'asev lecha melech Ashur, and it really means the melech Bavel. So it's not so unusual that we call it Ashur, even though we're really referring to Bavel over here or something like that. But the point is, this was a ksav that they were able to bring back with them, and it was a new ksav. Tanya, we have a brayse that says Rebbe Yomer b'tchila b'ksav zed nitna Torah l'Yisrael. Initially, the Torah was given to the Jewish people with this ksav. The fact that they couldn't read it when it was written on the handwriting on the wall was because kivan shechatu, since the Jewish people sinned in the days of Bayis Rishon, and they were mevaza the Torah in the days of Bayis Rishon, or at least in the times of the Chorban of the Bayis Rishon, nepach len l'roetz, it became something that was broken and they forgot it. Kivan shechazru behen. And then when they did tshuva in the days of Ezra, by going back to Eretz Yisrael, the Chziru Lehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them back this ksav, Shenemar Shuva Levitzron Esiri HaTikva, Gam Hayom Magin Mishnah Ashivlach. And it means that the Navi Zechariah is being misnave about the days of Bayis Sheni, that Shuva Levitzron Esiri HaTikva, that those who hope for Hashem, who yearn for Hashem, return to their fortified city, which is Yerushalayim, and Gam Hayom Magin Mishnah Ashivlach, and then therefore I'll return to you the Mishnah Torah Zos, the ksav, the different ksav that you had forgotten on account of your averos. V'lama nikra shema Ashuris. Why is it called Ashuris? Shema usharis b'ksav, because it is the most the most wonderful and the most dignified, the most it's the most elegant of all ksavim. So that's why it's called Ashuris, because it's the most, it's ksav usharis. The Achronim explain, the Rishonim really, the Rambam Pirush HaMishnah explains what makes it so special, that certain Tzuras HaOsios are difficult to confuse for one another, they tend not to overlap with one another, whatever it is, there's something very, very special about the Ksav Ashuris. So essentially we have two different teachings over here. We have the teaching of Rabbi Yossi that Ezra brought us this new Ksav, but then the teaching of Rabbi that it wasn't brand new, it was a return of an old Ksav, that we had the Ksav Bimei Moshe, and then it changed, and then it changed back. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Ben Parta Shamar Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amudai Ksav Zeh Lo Nishtana Kalikir. This Ksav Ashuri that we use, not like Rabbi Yossi said, and not like Rabbi said. It never changed. It was always there. Shenemar Vavei HaAmudim, because the pasuk says Vavei HaAmudim when it describes the hooks that they made out of silver that were in the Amudim of the Chatzar of the Mishkan, where they hung the screens of the Mishkan, and they're called Vavim because they're shaped like a Vav, which is Vav in Ksav Ashuri. So we see that that shape of a Vav, which is in Ksav Ashuri, existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that already you see not like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said that Ksav Ashuri didn't exist in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Ezra was the one who brought it into existence. But you see from the fact that we refer to them as Vav HaAmudim, and clearly it's the shape of a Vav, as we know it in Ksav Ashuri, that it did exist in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And not only that, we could prove that Rebbe is wrong as well, because Rebbe had said that we had Ashuris, and then it was forgotten, and then it came back. Well, the pasuk is comparing the Ksav to the Vav HaAmudim. Ma Amudim lo Nishtanu, just like the Amudim were never Nishtanu, they never changed their Tzura. So Avavim lo Nishtanu, the letter Vav must have also never changed its Tzura. So if it was always the same thing, so then Rebbe must be incorrect as well, because Rebbe said that it changed back and forth. So Va'omer, and the pasuk also says in the Megillas Esther, Vele Yehudim Kichsavam V'chilshonam. Malashonam, just like the language, the Lashon HaKodesh, lo nishtana, didn't change, because everyone agrees the Torah was only given by Lashon HaKodesh, and that we still use Lashon HaKodesh, Af Ksavam lo nishtana. So to the writing, the Ksav Ashuris doesn't change, and it was what it always is. It is what it always was. Elamani Mekayim Es Mishnah Torah Zos. What then do I do with Mishnah Torah Zos? Meaning Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, who held that it changed, whether it changed once, like Rabbi Yossi says, or it changed twice, like Rebbe said, they held Mishnah Torah means that Ksav Asuyil Ishtanos, that it changed at some point. But if you hold that it never changed, so then what does Mishnah Torah mean? This is why it's quoted here, L'shtei Toros. It's teaching us about the two Toros of the Melech. Ach HaShiyosu Din Nechnes Simo, one that he would go out with to wherever he went, V'ach Shemenach Sol Beis K'nazav, and one that he would keep safely hidden away. Osa HaShiyosu Din Nechnes Simo, Osa Sakamin Kameya, the one that he would walk around with wherever he went was like a small amulet, V'tol L'Bizro'o, would hang on his arm, Shenemar Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid, that it says Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid, Kimi Yemini Bal Emot, that the Sefer Torah was always L'Negdi Samid, Hashem was always with him and there was this physical manifestation of that with the Sefer Torah on his arm. So again, that's why we're quoting this over here, because we're talking about the Dinim of Melech and the Sefer Torah. So we talk about this whole story with the Ksav, just to point out that Mishnah Torah may not mean that the Ksav changes, it may mean that the king has a second Sefer Torah. V'idach, what about Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi? They disagree with Rabbi Lazar Madai. They hold that the Sefer Torah was not Talib Zra'o. So I Shivisi my Darish Bey, meaning they don't use Mishnah Torah to teach me that he has the Sefer Torah on his arm at all times. So what do you learn from Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samit? So it says, Maru mi bayalei kidrav chanabar bizna. Dam rav chanabar bizna, am rav shim chasida. Hamispal tzarek shira atzmo kilu shchina kenegdo. When someone davens, he has to see himself as if the shchina is kenegdo. Shenemar, Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samit. Because the pasuk says, Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samit. So it's more about attitudinally, not a physical manifestation of anything, but a way a person is supposed to visualize that when he davens, he has to realize that the Shechina is right there, right? That's where Chaim famously writes, is the very definition of tefillah. That the very definition of tefillah is that a person understands that he's Omid L'Fnei HaMakom. If a person doesn't see himself as Omid L'Fnei HaMakom, so then whatever he's doing, even if he's saying all of the words very slowly, it doesn't matter. That's not tefillah. It's just reading practice. It's only tefillah if a person visualizes and understands that he's Omid L'Fnei HaMakom. So now, why did Rabbi Lazar Madai not understand according to Rabbi Lazar Madai, that the handwriting never changed? Why didn't they understand the handwriting on the wall from the Malach? What was so difficult about it if it was a handwriting that they were all familiar with? It was a font they were all familiar with. So the Rabbi Shimon da Amar Ksav Zed Lo Nishtana, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in the name of Rabbi Lazar Madai, who said that the handwriting never, that the font of the Torah never changed. My lo kalin ksav lemikra. What does it mean that they didn't know how to read it and they therefore couldn't interpret it for the Melech until Daniel came and they couldn't understand it until Daniel was able to understand it? So Amarav, four answers. Answer number one, Amarav b'gematria ichtav lahon, yitas yitas adach pugchamat. That it was, the writing, we're told, is mana mana takol uparsin, but it was written in atbash. So if you put through that phrase in atbash, you get itas itas idach pugchamat. But that doesn't mean anything, so they didn't understand what it meant. They saw all the letters, they were able to make out the letters, they didn't know is it a Rashi Tevis, is it something, right? So it was all written in atbash, and Daniel was able to interpret it in atbash. My parish lu, so what did he say it meant? So how did he explain it? So the pasuk says in Daniel, mana mana tekalu parsin. So he explained what the malach meant is mana mana eloka malchusech tekal tekila bimoznaya vihishtakach chasir prisas malchusach vihivas lamadayu paras. That mana is that Hashem counted up the years of your malchus and he found that it's over, that whatever years were designated for your malchus are done. Takil means he weighed on a scale and he found that it's missing all tzedakah, any righteousness from your malchus, and therefore you have no special zuchus to have an arichus of that predetermined time that you were supposed to be melech, and a parson means it's broken twice, that your malchus is broken and that it was given over to Madayu Paras. So that was the nevuah, that was the interpretation that Daniel was able to share with them. Ushmuel Amar, a second interpretation, that the writing was not the gematria, it was with a mixing up of the letters. Mamtus Nenakvia Alran, that three letters from the first word were separated out into three different words, and then three letters in the second word were separated out into three different words, etc. So that's how you have a mem and then another mem, because it's mana mana, where the so it's split out among the different words. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and the Rabbi Yochanan says a third interpretation, that anom anom lakas nisrapu, that all the each word was spelled backwards. So it's as if someone was writing, you know, sometimes you have computer programs that don't recognize that Hebrew goes in the other direction, right? So it flips it around. So it took each word and flipped it around in the other direction. Rav Ashi Amar, name name katal porsin, that it wasn't, it was just that in each word, the second letter and the first letter were flipped for one another. I have no understanding of why these particular types, and whether they're arguing about in terms of why it would be mixed up in these particular types of ways. But that's the four interpretations of why they couldn't understand the handwriting on the wall. Okay, says the Mishnah, you can't ride on a king's horse, you cannot sit in his chair, you cannot use his scepter, no one's allowed to watch him getting a haircut, no one's allowed to see him undressed, it's not when he's in the bath, that you have to have a certain aima of the king, so you see him doing these undignified things, you're not going to have that same ema. So Amrav Yaakov, Amrav Yochanan, Avishag mutaris l'shlomo v'asur l'adonia. That Avishag was allowed to marry Shlomo, but not Adonio. Mutaris l'shlomo d'melech hayemelech misham yishav shambit l'shamelech. Shlomo was a legitimate king, and therefore he's allowed to use the sharbit of the melech. V'asur l'adonia, but she was asur t'adonia d'hedyotu, because he was a regular person, so he's not allowed to use sharbit l'shamelech. Avishag mayhi, what was Avishag exactly to David? What was the relationship? Well, the Chsev, you open up a Sefer Melachim Aleph, it tells you Ve'melech David Zaken Bava Yamim, that David was old and he had a hard time staying warm. Ve'yomer lo avadav yivakshu, and they said we should find an Arab Basula and she'll take care of the king and she'll sit with you and warm you. Uksiv, and the pasuk says Ve'yivakshu Nara Yafa. So they looked in all Gvul Yisrael to find the Nara Yafa. They found this Avishag Hashunamis. Uksiv, Nara Yafa Anmol Bati Lemelech Sochenes Ve'tesharseyu. That but the pasuk goes on Ve'melech lo yida'a, that he didn't marry her, he didn't sleep with her. So from those psukim we learned that Avishag was mishamish David to warm him up, and therefore she had a din like any other klei tashmish of a melech that was also to a hadyot. So this is not about not marrying an almana of a melech, not marrying a wife of a melech. This is about not using a sharbit of a melech, that she was of use to David, but she was not actually married to David. So she was not so happy about that. Amra ninasvin, she said to David, I would like for you to marry me. The Chasam Sofer writes writes in the Tshuva, what did she need him to marry her for? Meaning, if anyway, they couldn't have Tashma Shamita, because what David needed was a Nara Basula. For whatever reason, only a Basula would do the trick. So why would she want to be married to him? So it must be that she wanted his name or something like that. Other Acharim say, no, she wanted him to find a different Nara Basula. She thought that they had a relationship, so they should get married. So he said, marry me. Amrla, seriously, he said, I'm sorry. You're Asr to me, meaning I have 18 wives already. That I maxed out. I'm not allowed to have more than 18 wives. Acharim discuss, is this a raya to the Rambam, that it's 18 wives and Pilakshim altogether, and you're not allowed to have more, because otherwise he could have taken her as a Pilagesh, and he wouldn't have had to say that you're Asr to me. She wouldn't be Asr to him, she'd be Mutar as a Pilagesh. So maybe it's a raya to the Rambam that once you have 18, you can't even take another Pilagesh. So Amrlai, she said to him, Chasril Gan Venafshil Shalmanakit. Oh, you know what happens when a Ganav doesn't find anywhere to steal from? He claims to be a peaceful man. So I think that's what's going on with you. You're unable to have Tashmish anymore. You're an old man. And therefore you say, oh, no, I'm a big tzaddik. I'm not allowed to marry more than 18 wives. It's just an excuse. Samaluhu, Kirli the Basheva. He says, bring me Basheva. Ksiva, Tav Basheva, Lemelech, Hachadra. He brings Basheva into a room. And the pasuk goes on to say, and this is a key part, that Vamelech Zakin Mod, Vavishak Hashunamis Mishari says Amelech. In the very pasuk that describes that he brought Basheva into the room, it mentions that Avishag was there being Masharis the Melech. So with the Navi's drawing our attention to that connection, that he brought in Basheva to demonstrate to Avishag that he was still physically capable of intimacy. So Rav Yidam Rav Bos Shasha, at that moment, Kincha Basheva Bishlosh Esrei Mapos. That Bia so many times that Basheva had to clean herself off 13 times. So Rav Shem Barabba Bo Rei Kamakasha Gerishin. Look how difficult and how terrible divorce is. Shari David HaMelech Yitiru Lo Liyachid V'lo Yitiru Lo Ligarish. They sooner allowed David HaMelech to violate an Isser Yichud. And keep in mind, this was not a very old Isser. They had just instituted this Isser, right? Because this is Yichud with the Pnuya. We just learned about this with Amnon and Tamar. They had just made this Isser, and right away he violated this Isser, because the other option is to divorce one of his wives. The only way that it wouldn't be an Isser Yichud to be with Avishag was to divorce one of the 18 wives, and you don't divorce a wife when there's no good reason for it. That's what the Sefer Sanhedrin Katana points out. This is assuming, like the Shita Beisham and Beisila in the last Mishnah in Gittin, that you have to find the Dvar Erva in order to divorce a wife, or at least the Kedisha Tafshilo, but not like the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that Afilu Matza Acheres Na'a Emena, because that's what this is. Avishag was someone who was more useful to him, so Matza Acheres Na'a Emena is not a reason to divorce a wife, and because it's not a reason to divorce a wife, we would sooner violate the Isra Yichud than allow for a divorce, which leads us into the following teachings. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Kol HaMagarish Isra Rishon Afil Mizbeach Mora Lav Demaos. Someone who divorces his first wife, even the Mizbeach sheds tears over it. Shnemar V'zol Shenis Ta'asu Kamus Dimas Mizbeach Hashem B'chiva Anaka Me'ein Olpino Salamincha V'lakachas Rotzon Miyadchem Uksiv Amartem Alma Al Ki Hashem Heyid Ben Cho V'nesh Nerecha Asher Atah Begadetaba V'chavertecha V'eshes Brisecha. Why is it that you don't have this mizbeach to accept your kabbalas anymore? Because you don't have your first wife anymore. Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'Tamar Rabbi Lazar, Einis Shlo Demesa Elam Kein Vakshim Menu Mamon V'Einlo. A person's wife does not die for her husband's sins unless they ask for money for tzedakah from him, and he doesn't have any money to give. Shneamar V'Ein Einlo Chalashalim Lo Miyikach Mishkav Chamitachtecha. Wait a second. Why should a person be punished because he doesn't have money to give to tzedakah? No, the point is that he was no der money to tzedakah. He said that he would give, and he committed money to tzedakah, and then he doesn't deliver on the neder. So the Gemara Nedarim says, Bavon Nedarim Ishtomesa, and Banamesim Shem Katan, when a person doesn't live up to their Nedarim, that's where there are losses in the family. Vam Rabbi Yochan Kaladim Shmesa Ishto Rishona, any person whose first wife died, Ki Lucharv Besam Igdash B'yamav, to him personally, that's like a loss of the Chorban Abayas. Shnarma Ben Adam, Hinni Lokach Mimchas, Machmar Einecha, Bemagefa, Lotzispod, Velotivka, Velosavod, Dimasech, Uksiv, Vadabar Elam Babokar, Vatamas Ishti Ba'erev. So you see that the wife is called Machmar Eino, Uksiv, Hinni Machalus Mikdashi, Gonuzchem, Machmar Einechem. And the Beis HaMikdash is also called Machmar Ha'ayin. So we see that that Ishto Rishona, that losing his wife is like the loss of the Beis HaMikdash and like the Chorban HaBayis. That's what the Marsha says, that by all other Mesim, we assume that Mesim is nishtakach min alev. Nishtakach min alev means that the pain goes away, it wanes a little bit. But Ishto Rishona, he'll always be misabel, just like we're always misabel on the Beis HaMikdash. So until Tchiyas HaMeizim, he's always going to be misabel, just like we're always misabel on the Beis HaMikdash, until the return of the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rebbe Alexandri, Kol Adam Shmeis Ishto B'yamav, anyone whose wife predeceases him, Olam Chashach Ba'ado, it's as if the whole world had become dark for him. Shemar Or Chashach Ba'alo, V'nero Olav Yedecha, that Olo is his wife, and the Pasuk says that that the Or had become dark for him because of Olo, because of his wife. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Psiosef Miskatzros. He becomes so weak, he takes shorter strides. Shnemer Yitzro Tzadei Ono. Rabbi Yavo Amar Atzasa Nefeles. That whatever Eitzah he gives is not going to be Matzliach anymore. Shnemer Vatashlicheu Atzasa. Amar Rabbi Baruchan Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kasha Lizav Gum Kriyas Yamsuf. In general, when it comes to making Shiduchim, it's as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf, where there is a whole Shinoi of Seder Bereishis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats making Shiduchim as difficult as changing all the rules of Teva. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Elokim Moshev Yechidim Baisa, Motzi Asirim Biko Sharos. So the putting Yechidim in one bias, meaning making a Shidduch, is like bringing the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim when we went out with Bechi and with Shira, etc. So, Eini, is that really so? That it's so difficult to make a Shidduch? V'amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Arbroim Yom Kodem Yisrael, Savlad, Baskel, Yotzis, V'meres, Bas, Poloni, Ploni. Doesn't say that 40 days before the child is notes, or before the child is created, a Baskel comes out and makes the Shidduch and says who the Shidduch is. So, lo kasha. Habazivu Grishon, Habazivu Ksheni. When we say that a Baskel comes out, that's for Zivu Grishon. But when it says that it's Kosh Kriyas Yamsuf, that's for Zivuk Sheni. So it's a question, what exactly Zivuk Rishon, Zivuk Sheni means? It could mean first wife and second wife, or it could mean the wife that was originally designated for these people had they both lived up to their maximum potential. And if either one of them doesn't live up to their maximum potential, so that everything needs to be rejiggered and figured out again, so that's the Zivuk Sheni, and that's what that's what's difficult. That's what's Kosh Kriyas Yamsuf. Amar Shul Bar Nachman, L'kol Yesh Temura. There's replacements for everything, chutz me'eshes ne'urim, except for one's wife of their youth. Shenemar ve'eshes ne'urim ki sima es. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that it should go back that it'll go back to Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is like his eshes ne'urim. And by eshes ne'urim, even if you get really upset at her, you always want to go back to her, because she understands you better than anybody else. So masen rav yudu rav yitzah brei, eno demosik karis ruach, elam ishto rishon. A person only finds a certain sense of calm with Ishto Rishona. Ben Yoyada explains, because she's the only one that really understands his nature. She's the only one that knew him from his youth and understands what makes him tick. So he only really feels fully understood with Ishto Rishona. Shneemar yihi makor chabaruch usmach me'eshes le'urecha. So Amar lo kagon man, he said, who is such a woman that we say that you find such koras ruach from? So Amar lo, so Yehuda said, kagon im, like your mother, that she gives me karach ruach, meaning Rabbi Yitzchak had asked his father, Rabbi Yehuda, kigon man. So Rabbi Yehuda said to his son, Rabbi Yitzchak, you know what that means? That means like your mother, who I have such karach ruach with. So frankly, Eini, is that really true that he had such karach ruach? V'hamakri le Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yitzchak bray. But didn't Rabbi Yehuda once teach Rabbi Yitzchak his son the Paskin Koheles, umotza ani marmi maves? The Pasuk says that the woman is marmi mavis, she's more bitter than death. V'amalo, so Rav Yitzchak said to his father, kugon man, who would be such a woman that's more bitter than death? V'amalo, and he said, kugon imcha, your mom. So how could it be that she's the one that he finds koras ruach, and he also finds her more bitter than death? So mitkaf tkifa, she had her moments. Iburi ma'abra b'milei. She had these moments where she was very strong-willed, and she was very challenging to deal with, and at those moments she was marmi maves, but she was also more easily appeased after she got angry. And at those moments, he found a lot of karas ruach with her. This the Chavetz Chaim in Klal Aleph of Hilchos Lashon Hara and Be'er Mayim Chaim discusses why isn't this Lashon Hara, right? He says, who's marmi maves? He says, your mother. That sounds a lot like Lashon Hara. Okay, Amrav Shmuel Bar Onya Mishmei Derav, Isha Golam Hi, a woman that's is like an unfinished kli. Veinokrasas bris al misha asa kli, and she'll only fully commit to the person who makes her kli, meaning the man who takes away her basulim. Shnarbe kiva alayich osayich Hashem tzvakos shemav, that the baal is considered to be the person who has made the isha. Tana ein ish meis ela leishto. When a man dies, his death is most acutely felt by his wife more than anybody else. Veinisha meisa ela lebaila. And when a woman dies, her death is most acutely felt by her husband more so than anybody else. Ein ish meis ela leishto. How do I know that it's most felt by the wife? Shenemer, because the pasuk says vayamas elimelech ish naami. So it mentions her in his death. So you see that she felt his death more than anybody else. Vein isha mesa lebaila shenemer vani bevoi mipadan mesa alai Rachel. That Rachel died on Yaakov, meaning that it's something that happened to him. So you see that he felt her misa more than anybody else. Sayin Rovina. So we then said about a melech that you're not supposed to see him when he's getting a haircut. So once we're talking about haircuts, Tana Rabbanan. Melech mistaper b'chol yom. A king gets a haircut every single day. Kohen Gadol, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. Kohen Gadol every single week, every Erev Shabbos. And Kohen Hedyot, Echad Shloshim Yom. And a regular Kohen gets a haircut every 30 days. So, Melech Mistaper B'chol Yom. How do I know a king gets a haircut every day? Shenema, or why does a king get a haircut every day? Shenema, Melech B'yaf Yotech Zanei Necha. He always needs to be looking his best. So, he shouldn't have overgrown hair. Kohen Gadol, May Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, we said Kohen Gadol is every week. Amrav Shobar Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, Hovelu Mishmaros Mischachos, because there's a new Mishmar coming into the Beis Hamikdash every week, so they should all see the Kohen Gadol looking his best. Kohen Hedyot Echad Shloshim Yom, and a regular Kohen gets a haircut every 30 days, Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says in Sefer Yecheskel, Perek Mem Dalid, where it talks about the Bais HaShlishi, V'rosham lo yigalechu, fera lo yishalechu, k'som yichsimu es rosheihem. So v'yalef, and we learn a gzeir shava, pera pera minazir. K'siv hacha, it says by the Kohen Hedyot, pera lo yishalechu. He's not allowed to overgrow his hair. U'ksiv hasam, and it says by a nazir, gadol pera sa'arosho, that his hair grows as pera. So mala alon shloshim, just like by a nazir, means that it's a minimum of 30 days of growth, because that's what a minimum of nazirus is. Safkan shloshim, so too, the maximum of what a Kohen is allowed to do is 30 days of growth, because he's not allowed to have pera. The Nazir must have pera. The Kohen is not allowed to have pera. The Ran writes, this isn't a real Gzeirah Shavah Gemura, because one pasuk is in Navi, one pasuk is in Chumash. So it's not a real Gzeirah Shavah Gemura. Utsinan Nami, Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom, and we know that Nazirus is 30 days. V'hasa minala, and how do we know Nazirus is Shloshim Yom? Amra Masa, Damakra, Kadosh Yihiyah. The gematria tfasanavu, that the word yiyah is a gematria of 30, so this is a din daraisa that we derive from a gematria. Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye, Ema lo lir buklal. Maybe I should say that pera lo yishalechu means he shouldn't grow his hair at all, even less than 30 days. Amalei iksiv lo yishalechu pera kedekamrit. If it would have said lo yishalechu pera, you'd be right. Hashad iksiv upera lo yishalechu, so we darshan pera lehavi shaluchei lo leshalchu, that you can have a little bit of pera, but not too much. It shouldn't be 30 days worth. Iachia in the nami. So then, how come kohanim don't get haircuts every 30 days nowadays? I mean, shouldn't there be a din that a kohen gets a haircut every 30 days? Well, dumya de yayin. We compare it to the isser of a kohen drinking yayin. My yayin bizman bia hu da aser shlo bizman bia shari. Just like the isser of a kohen drinking wine was only if he's going to be doing the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. If he's not in the Beis Hamikdash, he's allowed to drink wine. Saf puri rosh bizman bia aser shlo bizman bia shari. So to puri rosh is only a din bizman bia. It's not a din when he's not going to be doing the avoda. So the heter to drink wine was even during the zman beis hamikdash, as long as he wasn't being oveid in the beis hamikdash. So that's what the Torah's Chaim writes. Luchoru, when we say that a kohen gets a haircut every 30 days, doesn't mean every 30 days. It means when he's doing the avoda of the beis hamikdash, he cannot have 30 days of growth on his head, because it's dafka a din while doing the avoda in the beis hamikdash. So v'yayin shalom bizman bia shari. Is that true that kohanim are allowed to drink wine when it's not a time that they're going to the Beis HaMikdash? Vatanya, but don't we have a brisa that tells us that Rebbe Omer Omer Anib Kohanim Asurim L'Shlus Yayin Li'olam, that Rebbe says, I think Kohanim are never allowed to drink wine because they don't know exactly what the Mishmar is when they're going to be, when they're supposed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt today, tomorrow, and they're going to be called into service, and they might be drunk at the time, so that's going to be a problem, so they should never ever drink wine. But what can I do? Because the Chorban Abayis, which was the Kilkul, and caused all the Mishmaros to be confused because no one knows what they belong to. So that's why Kohanim should not be allowed to drink wine. But that was Masakin them, that we don't have to be Choshesh, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt very suddenly while they're drunk. So Kohanim drinking wine nowadays assumes, like Rabbi, that it's just, if you're going to say, like some of the other Tanaim, that if you know your Mishmar, so don't drink wine on the day of your Mishmar. If you know your Beis Av, don't on the week of your Mishmar, the day of your Beis Av. But Rebbe says, no one knows anything. So what do? We can't ask for wine forever. But Michal, the Rabbanan Asri, it sounds like those that disagree with Rebbe, the Rabbanan, do ask for drinking wine. So says Gemara, Hasam, Hainu Taima, Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, Rabbeinu Kohen Arayi Lavod, Valeka. Yeah, but the only reason that the Rabbanan Asri is because they're concerned that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt very suddenly, and the Kohen whose turn it is serving the Beis HaMikdash is going to be drunk, and he's not going to be able to serve. That's why they're not allowed to drink wine. So it says, well, yeah, but why aren't you? That just begs the question. Hachanami, being a kohen arayi lavod v'aleka. You have the same problem with the haircut. If the kohen is not getting a haircut every 30 days, basically it's going to come down right now, and then we're not going to have kohenim that are ready. So it says, well, just go to barber and get it taken care of. It takes 5 minutes. So they'll get a haircut. And then there won't be a problem anymore. Well, Hasamnami Yafshu Denayim Portavayil. How long of a nap do you need to sleep off your wine? It won't take very long for the Kohen who has drunk some wine to nap. A little Dam Ravacha, Derech Meal, Vishina Kolshu, Mefigin, the Sayayin, that if you walk a meal or you sleep a little bit, that will take away the effects of the wine. Velavit Marala, so says, well, yeah, but that's only in certain circumstances. Amram Nachman Amar Barvua, Lo Shanu, El Shasak De Revius. That's only if you just had a Revius of wine. Aval Yosem De Revius. That sometimes sleeping makes you even more drunk if you had more than a revius of yayin. So there's no simple way to solve drunkenness. There's a simple way to solve not having a haircut. That's why Kohanim are allowed to get not get a haircut as man as every 30 days. But the Rabbanan hold that if they know their Mishmar, they know their Beis Av, they are not allowed to drink wine. Rav Asher Mesuyayin Demachli Avod Gazbu Rabbanan Puri Rosh Lo Machli Avod Lo Gazbu Rabbanan. Rav Asher says when it comes to wine, the Rabbanan are concerned because that's Mechal the Avoda. Puri Rosh, it's not appropriate, but it's not Mechal the Avoda, so they don't have to make a gzeira that every Kohen Bizmanazah has to get such frequent haircuts. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, if we go through the various people, Chai Misa B'de Shemayim, Velu Shebemisa, Puri Rosh, Ushuyayin, Ubisham, Suyayin, Dixivyayin, Shechatesh, Atu Venecha, Velosamusu. It says Velosamusu when it comes to drinking wine and doing the Avoda. El Puri Rosh Minalan, how do I know that your Chai Misa B'de Shemayim for doing the Avoda is Puri Rosh? Because we compared one to the other. Because the pasuk says in Yecheskel, "V'rosh m'leigalechu feru lo yishalechu v'yayin lo yishtu." So mash su yayin b'misa, pray rosh b'misa. Just like su yayin rachayv misa, so to pray rosh rachayv misa. Umina, and from there I learned that since they're compared one to the other, so as far as chil avoda as well, mash su yayin demachli avoda. Just like if a kohen drinks wine, he's mechal the avoda. Pray rosh demachli avoda. If he's pray rosh, he's mechal the avoda. And therefore, it's a kasha. Rav Ashi who says that Puri Rosh are not mechal the avoda. So kasha. So it's taka kasha. But we're about to see it's not really such a kasha. Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi. Ravina says to Rav Ashi, "Hi adlo osi yecheskel mana mara." This din that a Puri Rosh is chayv misa for doing the avoda. It's learned from pasuk yecheskel. Before yecheskel taught it, where did we know it from? Well, the fact that an aral is pasul avoda, we said that we don't know it from the Torah Moshe, Atshaba Yecheskel V'Limanu, only Yecheskel Anavi taught it to us. Kol Benechar Ora Lev Ora Basel Le'avos Mikdashi L'Sharseni. So Adelo Ba Yecheskel Man Amara. Before Yecheskel taught it to us, how did we know it? El Gemara Gemir Lavas Yecheskel Asmechayakra. It was an oral tradition. Yecheskel gave us a pasuk for it. Hachnam Gemara Gemir Lavas Yecheskel Asmechayakra. So the din of Prey Rosh is also Gemara Gemir La, and we have a pasuk. And then we can add in V'Chigami Alacha L'Misa Lachule Avoda L'Gemiri. That maybe the tradition was only that there's chayiv misa, but not that it's mechal the avoda, and that answers the kasha we had in Rav Ashi. Ma'ikasom yichasmos rasheihem, so tana kimin tisparis lulyonis. That it means that they get a special kind of haircut called the tisparis lulyonis. My tisparis lulyonis. What is tisparis lulyonis? I'm reading Shmuel. Tisparis yichidah. It's a very unique, special kind of haircut. Hey chidami. Okay, what? How? What? So I'm Rav Ashi. Rosh shalzeh b'tzadikaros shalzeh. That the tip of one follicle of hair, it reaches just to the root of the other follicle of hair. Shalos es Rebbe, Ezu Tisparshal Kohen Gadol. What is the haircut of the Kohen Gadol? What did that look like? He says, you got to see my son-in-law's haircut. He has the Tisparos of the Kohen Gadol. And Tanya, the Brisa tells us that Rebbe Omer, Lo Alchinam Pizer Ben Alasa Esma Osef. He was a rich guy, and he spent a lot of money on his haircuts, but it wasn't because he was wasteful with his money. El Kdei Laharos put Tisparos of the Kohen Gadol. He wanted to demonstrate what the Tisparos of the Kohen Gadol looks like. The Netziv points out that in Nedarim, Ben Alasa was criticized by some of the other Tanayim for pampering himself like this. So he was defending him. He was saying, no, he's just trying to teach the Tisparos of the Kohen Gadol. Hadron Lach Kohen Gadol, Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Perek Zeh Borer. Everyone have a great day.